All right, here we go in 3, 2, 1. What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. This is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/Hamrick2018, H-A-M-R-I-C-K, right?
Correct.
So Devin Hamrick joined us from Rydell talking about the current research with helmets and reducing impacts and some of the stuff that they've been doing with their sensors. And so he's going to tell us all about that. He just finished his talk in there. And also Justin Landers from Katy High School. So here in Texas, Katy High School is a football powerhouse. And if there's any sort of new equipment, they probably have it. And if there's any sort of, you know, way to protect the athletes and keep them on the field better, they're probably going to investigate and dig into it. So I've got my friend Justin Landers here joining us. So Devin, why don't you go ahead and tell us just a little bit about what you talked about in there, and then we're going to go with Justin's questions.
Yeah, absolutely. And today we had the opportunity to talk about, really from a coaching standpoint, working with the sports medicine staff, how can we use data from the field, and in this case coming from a football helmet platform, taking data and putting it in the hands of a coach, putting it in the hands of an athletic trainer, really to enhance the processes that are already in the place, but also to look at what activities taking place. Coach Landers, you got a practice plan. Like I talked about today, your staff has it. You're making it every morning, every day, coordinating. So what we're talking about and what we've just released for the next season is the Insight Training Tool, which is the next generation of smart helmets from Rydell, which we launched our first back in 2004. So we've collected over 5 million position and level specific impacts, really to be able to identify what are the trends for head impacts for players. And our goal is to take that and put it in terminology and really in a way that can be digested by coaches to use to make their program better from a player performance, from a student athlete and individual performance, but also to enhance that dynamic with their sports medicine staff and look back at what were we doing when? What is the correlation between activity and what's happening, and how do we get better on a really a weekly basis?
I can tell you right now, I really appreciate your approach, and it's something actually as athletic trainer, I am probably one of the few athletic trainers I sit in on almost every planning meeting for football practice. I help plan everything from the water break to what is actual contact time. Here in Texas, we are in KDISD particularly, we have 90 minutes of contact a week prior to a game. And definition of contact is always susceptible to a different person. That's one of my biggest problems that I fight on a weekly basis is that a thud? Is that a contact? Is that air? Is that very, very similar to your presentation? And so I've taken a different role. In fact, my coach and I have had a couple of these conversations about do we do a helmet checklist? Do we need to change where that is in the week? Also, do we want to get something where the air, we fit this guy with the helmet and air to we record that and we're going to redo that even if the kid's not there. We're going to go by and have that weekly check. That's a safety measure we're putting in and check some balances for the kid. So having a smart helmet, having technology, being able to look at the plan and the individual basis from the trainer standpoint, very intriguing right now. I think it is where we are actually going. You're a step ahead of where most of these coaches are anyway. And so kind of just want to ask, I mean, how have you seen technology change over the last decade on these helmets?
Yeah, and it's definitely changed a lot. And I think a huge contributor to that and what I touched on at the start of our conversation is having data from the field. Like I stated, we're the only helmet manufacturer that has a data collection system and a data set that is really this robust. So we've got over 5 million impacts telling us what position were they playing, what level were they at, and where are the impacts happening, which to really look at the evolution of the equipment, it informs our design. There's a reason that the Rydell SpeedFlex helmet has its design. You know, it's all informed by that data at different levels to tell us what's happening on the field, not just in a lab. Everybody's got a lab. We've got a lab. Everybody's got a lab. But on the field, how do we do that? And how do we not only put something in the hands of a coach or an athletic trainer that they can feel confident in from that data, but what information does that give you? You know, what information do you get from this technology that can help you in your day-to-day process? So I think that's the goal. And as we drive to smarter helmets and really, you know, customized position-specific helmets and player-specific helmets, you talked about the fit. That's really the next step. Even after Insight Training Tool, is another platform called Precision Fit, which is out right now, mostly at what we consider the key account level, but getting into high schools where there is no more air. Every player's helmet is custom scanned to their head and precision fit. By that, I mean it's not shimmed. There's not inserts. It is your head scanned to fit you perfectly, and which we've seen makes a significant difference.
I must have missed that part of the conversation. Tell me about that.
Yeah, and that was today, you know, being that this is more of an accreditation-type talk with the intent not to sell Riddell helmets in this talk today. You know, but we've got the Insight Training Tool, which is launched for 2018, but we also have the Precision Fit, which is next-generation custom-scanned helmets for players, you know, very specific product technology, and those will eventually merge down the road where we can customize and fine-tune a player's helmet for their style of play. Left tackle, college level. He's probably left tackle, college level. If we have a data profile to build into that, those two will converge together and merge.
Huh. Very interesting. I've never heard of that before, but I don't have any part of the meetings for the equipment or anything like that, so.
One of the things as, and I'm kind of brew into a little bit what we're doing at Katie, we're looking at kind of taking a global approach to building a campus to how do we make these players motivated, intrigued, want to play safely.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to do it right. And we follow some of the models that these colleges like Clemson, Florida State, A&M, Texas, they all have these campuses for their athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Their own athlete campus away from everything. Everything from nutrition to their athletic facility, to where they sleep, to how their locker room is, to their equipment fit. It's a huge deal. And being in Texas, football is a huge deal. And so I sit there and I go, this is one of those things that has to be addressed first. People playing football safely is first. And kind of just want to go back. I don't know how long you've been with Riddell, but do you, in your opinion, do you feel like the rules, they used to put these rules in place kind of in the late 90s, early 2000s to kind of like, hey, we're not going to hit a kid, guy that's a defenseless player, the targeting rule, the halo effect, so to speak. Have we tried to address the problem without science prior to today?
I think the when you look at the science of it and the knowledge base, just like the equipment has evolved, so has that. There's more continual and ongoing studies now and have been in the last 10 years, you know, than there ever have. And the technologies that researchers have to use have advanced by a lot too. They're learning, and in our position, being that we have, you know, a data collection system with the Riddell HIT system, you know, we share access to that data with the researchers. And from my personal experience, probably not old enough to go back into the 90s and the rule changes, but we have seen, you know, as the game evolves, that's progress that rule changes being put into place but upheld at the same time contribute to. Like we talked about today, you know, if you're planning something, if you're planning a practice, you talked about how much contact you plan. If you put that on a practice plan and you plan this is what we're doing these 2 days, these 3 days, but then you just leave that practice plan in your office, what's that help you? So we are seeing the rule changes. I think it's a general awareness of what's actually happening, you know, from a manufacturer standpoint, but also the evolution of coaches and of team staffs, of their knowledge base is increasing. They know what's out there and available from events like this, you know, what Herman Memorial, UT Health, and KDISD put on. There's a reason there's almost 200 people in that room. You know, they're here to learn and to get to know more about what's happening.
I also look at the word concussion. Hot. It's definitely a hot word in the community. I've also know coaches that are concerned that less kids are playing the sport because of the fear of a concussion. So how much does media and the movies like Concussion come out drive this issue?
Yeah, and I think there's awareness of the positive, there's also awareness, like with any topic, as there's more and more coverage and more people looking to reference different things in the public and pull people into their conversation, that conversation has gone up. But at the same time, so is the conversation about what's being done in the right way. And really to respond to that, it's important really to have an understanding of what you brought up. How much has this really evolved? Because the helmets 10 years ago versus what are on the field today, far and vast differences between, you know, the technology and what's gone into designing those.
I remember when the Revolution came out that there was some the initial year it came out, it was the concussion-proof helmet. And I remember Riddell, my Riddell rep that I deal with on a daily basis, I was like, no. You know, that's not what we said. It will reduce the risk of concussions. Just kind of from Riddell and your standpoint, how do they battle that image over the years?
Yeah, and in that specific instance, I can't really comment too much on that one specifically at this point. But really what we talk about is from the people who can actually make a difference of what's going on in the field, whether that's the people making the rules, whether it's the coaches, the governing bodies, what can we make that puts a tool in their hands to actually be able to see what's happening and modify or evolve their activities, their behaviors? I think that's a really important part of the conversation. You know, there isn't that perfect answer, and I think that's generally known. And I'm not here to say that's today. And that's not happening right now, but, you know, what can we do with what's happening out there to be able to provide better tools and technologies is what it drives down to.
Let's kind of dig into the practice plan a little bit, mm-hmm. and the preparation. Value of good film people and good film and the coaches really studying the film and the technique.
Yeah.
I know our coaches, hours of film. Yeah. I mean, our kids watch hours of film. I mean, we got kids watching film at 6:30 to 7 in the morning, bringing a brown bag lunch and watching it at lunch and going home and watching it on their phone. And we're promoting all those things they like. So how valuable is film to and coaches that know technique and are teaching technique?
Yeah, it's extremely valuable. It's probably the most valuable piece of information that a staff has as far as coaching their players. You know, what did we do? What we plan to do, what happened, and how are we going to address it the next time? You know, with the evolution of coaches, there's the evolution of technologies I talked about today. I showed a couple clips of film when it used to be a reel or a VHS and how grainy it was, and it was coach driving down the freeway to exchange tape on Friday night. Now it's web-based. You know, almost all high school programs, every college program is using some type of program. You're talking about kids. It's in their hands, too. So it's a tool that they can use to get better because there's positive reinforcement to it. The kids love seeing their highlights. But really, when you get down to those good players to elite players from the high school to the college level, the ones that can take what's happening, adapt their behavior, their technique, and get better. Because we've all seen a good player who we think is elite go up against a true elite player, and that's where just being big, strong, and fast might not help you as much anymore. That's where your coaching, your technique comes into play. The film is probably one of the best tools to be able to look at that.
Definitely have seen that over the years. We have kind of a little saying at our school is the eye in the sky never lies.
Yeah.
And you probably heard that because it's pretty common. And the other one is also a guy with great technique can beat the bigger, faster, stronger guy. You can put him in a position where if you have technique, you can position yourself to play the strategy of the game and the way it's meant to be played to win. And I've definitely seen that over the years where we've beaten some teams that are definitely more talented, have a lot more talented kids than us. And so it's interesting that film is one of those big ones. Y'all took some data from a couple of schools there. Were you on site for that? Is that something?
Yeah.
Were you involved in the practice planning?
Yeah, so we have a team internally, not just, you know, do we manufacture the technology and offer that to schools, but, you know, I lead a team internally of guys, former college football players, understand the game, who they're support coordinators. You know, if a coach has data from the field and they have questions, we can't tell them exactly what to do, But if they have questions about accessing a certain piece of data, that's why our team's in place. So the way the data gets from the field is the Riddell Insight helmets have a five-zone sensor pad inside them. That sensor is set up and coordinated with that player's profile on the website, and it's wirelessly communicating data throughout practices and games through a handheld monitor, and then that monitor uploads data to the site. And one of the biggest things as we talk about putting smart helmets in the hands of coaches and programs is, you know, is it consumable? You know, can they afford it, which we've put it in a format where, you know, it doesn't add that much to the cost of the helmet, but can they implement it, right? Our system with Insight, you're not charging batteries. You don't have to turn anything on every day. You walk out to practice, the helmet checks in, it starts communicating data, and it doesn't stop watching. You said the eye in the sky never lies, right?
Right.
The Insight helmet never stops watching. So if a coach is over with another position group, it's still monitoring the impacts. And it's not in a diagnostic way. From a coaching standpoint, they might think, this is going to tell me something, I'm going to have to take a kid out. This isn't a diagnostic measure. If it gives you information on the field, it's going to do that via what's called an Insight alert. That's a page to the sideline, which would essentially tell you that player took a hit or a series of hits over the last 7 days that would be really statistically significant. It's above the norm for their position group and their level. Then in the background, we're collecting all the other impacts as far as who it is, how hard the impacts are, and where on their head, which ties back to the fundamental coaching of football.
So talk about your team goes in and to these schools, the implementation process. Is this the trainer really has to kind of sell this, or does the head coach really have to buy in, or is there a struggle with belief that we're going to even get anything out of this and we're just trying it?
And that's one of the things we're excited with the Insight training tool is we've expanded the data you get. You know, when we first launched Insight in 2014, it was just those top-level impacts, the alerts that you got in real time on the sideline. Then we expanded that to start bringing training opportunities, which are trends, where it compares a player's alert profile and their significant impact profile to national norms and tells you if they're above, below, is there an increase, decrease. Now with Insight Training Tool, we're essentially building almost a full impact profile for every hit with how hard, where, and now that's being compared to national norms. But really, when I say smart helmet, it's comparing a player to themselves, to their own profile. In implementing it, it's really about what is your process now? How do you do things now? And how can we use this information to enhance it? Not necessarily to change it, because a lot of folks out there, they think, oh, this is going to change it. I've been doing this way for a while. We're successful. We don't need to change it. Well, you might not need to change it. You might just evolve it or enhance it a little bit. So I think as far as implementation, it's key that everybody's on the same page. And it's key that everybody has an understanding of what the system is and what it's not. It's not going to tell you a player is injured. It's not a diagnostic tool. You know, impact systems don't replace, you know, clinical training and expertise from the people that would do that. It's telling you something that happened that you might not have or probably didn't see with your eyes, but it never stops watching those things.
I get that from the trainer standpoint. It's not going to help me determine who has a concussion, but I can always go back and go, hey, most of my concussions come at this point in practice.
Yeah.
And we're doing this drill in practice on a pretty regular basis at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should talk to coach about that. I get that part of it. My other part is what is the resistance of coaches wanting to maybe even implement this in their program?
Yeah, the biggest thing, and I kind of addressed it earlier, was unfamiliarity or a little bit of fear of the unknown, not knowing what it is truly intended to do. Because most programs out there here anywhere, if I come in and I just say, you got this new thing, and it's going to tell you how to do your job as an experienced coach, I'm going to go, whoa, let's pump the brakes. But it's really essential to have that understanding. But I think that's the biggest hurdle that we see. But as we see coaches evolving, you know, the generation of coaches who are hungry for information, film, head impact data, you know, the different scouting softwares that are out there, we're seeing that evolve, and we're looking to pull those coaches along with us as we evolve to it.
That's good. Implementing has been key to, I think, anybody who plans and implements and takes as much time to make something successful and is going to look at the details. You know, do you see this evolving into every helmet y'all sell? Do y'all see this evolving into more than what it is today? Is there a goal or a process down the road for this?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where, you know, Insight as it is today with the Insight training tool and monitoring system, along with the Precision Fit platform where we're custom fitting and really custom making each player's helmet individually, those will merge together. And we do see a point where every helmet we make will have a future version of an impact monitoring system because of the value that brings to coaches. But also as we continue to get millions and millions and millions of impacts, that helps us to be able to make our helmet platforms better. And eventually those will merge together where you have custom player-specific and, you know, not just position-specific, but actually player-specific tuned helmets. You know, and that's the start of that is the Precision Fit.
Awesome. Jeremy, do you have anything you wanted to add? Kind of just athletics in general. Obviously, you've played athletics and enjoy still being around them. I can tell when you talk in there, you're still pretty passionate about your lineman experience yeah. over the years. Things like Catapult, where they, you know, heart rate monitor and can see speed of players and cutting things and things like this. Just little comment. You see that as the new wave, the new technology, the future, the smartphone carrying all the time. Is that where we're going?
Yeah, and I think it's going there. I think it's been going that way for a while, whether we acknowledge it as a wave or, you know, a smart program or technology. You know, as the game evolves, it's being pulled that way, you know, by the technologies and the companies that are out there doing that. And we have the ability to pull the game with us and pull the users, the coaches, the trainers, and that will be better for the game instead of just pushing it and forcing it. And we can pull them towards it. And I think it's the data. As coaches evolve, as users evolve, they want information. They seek out information. And it's like film used to be. If I went into an office for a coach that's been here 20 years, he's probably got every game for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
He's not going to watch every rep of every game every Thursday night before he plays Friday. But if he's got a situation or something he wants to go back and review or recap, he's got it at his disposal. Now that's online.
Is it a money ball type situation where the data says you got to take this player and play this position eventually?
That's a great thing to put out there. I think as the analytics advance more, you know, the money ball and, you know, the sabermetric adaptation of it is, you know, what trends do we have? How can we analyze those to look at how can we be more successful for different trends, different metrics? It's exciting to think about where that might go, and I think it will get to that. You know, there's data out there right now to say if we have these different metrics for a player with, you know, this different makeup or build, you know, he's probably best suited for this. You know, what it really comes down to is he can be a great athlete, but can we use the information we have to make sure he can actually execute exactly. on the field? We talked exactly. about normal player to good player to elite player. That's where the role of the coach is, using the film and having film, you know, having data from helmets, having stuff at your hands that's disposable that you can use when the time's right and you need that information.
I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.